to Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service Radio.
And welcome to our special holiday edition of Shift Drink here on Full Service Radio, broadcasting live from the Lion Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. I'm Matthew Ramsey. When they go low, I go high life. Champagne beer wishes and caviar dreams.
I'm Eddie Kim, proud DCist, mousy wine mousketeer, and 40X movie naysayer.
Now, come on, man. We all know it's the best.
No, Matthew. No, I don't want to be blown spray and smells in my face while I'm watching a movie.
You just said two of my favorite words. Gross. Yeah. That's two of my favorite words.
I want to experience Wakanda just in my own element. All right. Every week, we share a Shift Drink and swap war stories from behind the line with chefs, bartenders, bakers, and brewers, and anyone who touches this all-encompassing industry. This week, though. This week, we are doing something special. We are joined by local barfly, bon vivant, however you want to call him, Jason Mader.
Now, well, hi.
Hi. Welcome.
Jason's already taking issue with barfly. This is going to be a great episode.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, that, we need to hash it out and figure out, what do we call you? No, let me finish. Jason marks first time for the show that despite the tagline, he does not work behind any line, bar, bakery, or brewery. But nonetheless, he deserves a Shift Drink alongside everyone else. Most likely you've seen him out on the town somewhere, but next time, keep an eye out for a coal miner with skinny jeans and buy him around on us.
Wow.
It's a roast. It's a roast, Jason.
It's welcome.
We're starting strong. We're starting early.
Oh, nice.
But he's not alone. Yeah. He's not alone here. We've brought an assemblage of people to also kind of just fill in the blanks of this nebulous figure before us. We have Miss Kat Meady.
Hey there, guys.
We have one microphone for three guests.
Yeah, we're all leaning in here. It's like very doo-woppy.
Also on the bandwagon here, we have Chantal. Sorry, I'm...
Hey, how's it going?
Nice. Also, we have Miss Mel.
Hello.
Mel, I don't think I know your last
Mel
name.
Mel Kunishi. That's Chantal Sang of Literary Cocktails and Sherrydom. We have Mel Kunishi.
I'm Melissa.
And Kat Amidi of Capital Line Vermouth.
Thank you, Eddie Kim.
Yes.
All right, now this is the holiday edition, and nothing says holidays. Before we even get to the Shift Drink, we're going to do a shift shot.
Oh, my goodness.
This is Bekrovka. You bet your Rovka it is.
Jonathan Fain salutes you.
This is basically
John Fain of Bar Pilar.
Christmas distilled.
Cheers.
Now, we're breaking all kinds of records here. We have never had such a magnificent spread. I don't know if we're ready to go down that rabbit hole yet.
I mean, we'll post a picture of it, but let's do a quick rundown. We just have Bekrovka. I made some pre-bottled Manhattans, but Jason, being Jason, he brought his own ingredients of rye whiskey via vermouth.
In a cooler.
In his own cooler.
Rittenhouse.
Rittenhouse 100 rye.
To be fair, I thought he was carrying his own liver in the cooler.
He has extra ones.
Yeah.
He needs extra ones. We'll get to that.
I have so many extra
how
ones
exactly
you don't even know.
He survives.
There's a hunk of bread with some butter, some flor de sol.
We have a Cholito. Thank you, Scott and Anna, for bringing over a little small batch of Cholitos.
Yes.
But we
on
have
a Monday.
On a Monday when they're closed.
Yeah. That's a Christmas miracle.
A Cholito, but with a little bit of extra topping. A little bit of bouginess.
Jason's you're already three martinis deep.
Three martini lunch when I got here.
Yeah, and caviar.
And caviar service.
Caviar was lunch.
It's a Monday.
Just for the record. Mm-hmm.
So I tried to get a burrata. It just didn't happen.
So we've added said caviar to said Christmas miracle.
And then we also have an eggnog that you made 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, 6 weeks ago.
6 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And it's been sitting. Eggnog, proper eggnog for...
This is George Washington's recipe.
Okay.
So this is...
What's in it?
This is rye whiskey, apple brandy, amontillado sherry, and the other thing. The
egg yolks.
Egg? Egg
yolks. There's some eggs in there.
Some cream. There's cream,
how
too, right?
How much nog did you put in there, though?
Oh, there's a lot of nog in there.
A lot of nog.
No, nogs are just the cup. The eggnog would be served out of.
What is, I mean, you were talking a lot of eggs before. What like 24 is that?
Yeah. This is about 2 dozen eggs where you separate it. You like blanchier the egg yolks with some sugar.
And this is something you do every year.
Yeah. It started off when I read the George Washington eggnog recipe and then had easy access to some high-proof alcohols, which don't really have easy access to. This is a total blend. I found some Thomas Handy in my house. There's some other stuff mixed in there. I found Thomas Handy.
Now for the gallery here, have you guys all had Jason's eggnog before?
Ten.
Wow.
No, it's actually longer.
I've only known Jason for 11
or it's like 12 years.
So I heard the legend for me started just last year. I've not tried it yet, and I don't actually have a nog in front of me, which feels a little painful. Goodness.
It's fine. You'll find one.
my first Mater nog experience.
And she's complaining because she only has 2 drinks in front of her right now.
Now, you have to make this in extremely large format, right?
I'm going to need some nutmeg, sir.
Okay, we have gone very, very extra. We have nutmeg. Do we have a grater?
Yeah.
Yes, you do have a grater.
So, last year I was in New Orleans, and I just forgot a grater. I also thought it would be super easy to just get nutmeg in New Orleans. It was not. Also, getting a microplane in New Orleans was also not easy, so I had to borrow it from Canaan Table.
Canaan Table. Nick Dietrich was on our show recently. Nick is a nice guy, so I'm not surprised
and
that he would.
And he is super nice. He let me borrow
that. So can I just point out that in front of me I now have a nog. I also have a glass of Petnat of some variety. There's a full Manhattan, and I've already had a shot of bear, say that word? Bekrovka.
Yeah.
and already a glass of sparkling wine, and this is Monday afternoon.
Yes.
Okay. Just checking in.
I think this is very indicative of the holiday times when you
passing
just
a nog.
Bring as much alcohol as possible to a party. Everyone, just don't be stingy when you go to a holiday party.
Good point.
Always bring enough for yourself.
Eddie Kim, more so. What was the Bon Appetit recommended dosage?
Bon Appetit did a podcast recently, and they said, it's usually bring a glass of wine.
A bottle of wine for one person.
If you bring a guest, a plus one, bring two bottles of wine.
Yeah, one bottle per person.
Even if you're showing up for, 15 minutes to say hi, go ahead, be generous, bring a bottle and leave it.
We're not talking about that yellowtail either.
No.
No yellowtail. No,
but don't bring a baller bottle. Because inevitably some asshole is going to open it and pour themselves put ice in it. It happens. It happens at every party. You bring a nice bottle, you hide it in the corner of the fridge.
Yeah.
Someone opens it.
The guy who brings a yellowtail opens it and drinks it, right?
Yeah.
But Mater, you have no fear. You're looking at me.
No fear.
Okay.
I brought so many things to so many parties that just like do whatever.
This is also a very good point really quickly about Jason Mater in general, is that he'll show up anywhere, doesn't matter the venue, bar, private party, hotel, with a loaf of bread and a couple bottles of wine. And it's incredibly strange, but it's also the most charming thing in the world. That's the last nice thing I'm going to say about
it. It's very endearing.
By the way.
To be fair, he showed up an hour and a half early to the podcast even.
Incredible. With a loaf of bread.
Bread in tow. So you're
I needed time to drink.
We're not exactly sure what Jason does for a living.
Oh, yes, man of mystery.
There's a lot of theories out there. I'm not going to confirm or deny any of them. One of them is a lawyer.
Jesus Christ.
Are we playing our own Two Truths, One Lie?
Yeah.
I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who deals specifically with
what
child
is it
care.
About me that makes you think I'm a lawyer? What am I doing wrong?
It's the snappy shoes.
Oh, no. I just have a really good shoe guy. Yeah. That's all.
Well, the fact that you have a shoe guy also
Sky
points
Valet,
to the
fantastic shoes. It's where you should buy shoes.
Ding, ding. Other theories out there include
computer scientist hacker guy.
Yeah.
Before I kind of knew, which I don't really know, I was it was something scientist-y.
Yeah.
Something scientist-y. Mm-hmm. Based on
koala
the beard.
Specialist.
If you've seen the beard.
So that's the truth. I'm a computer scientist.
You are a computer scientist.
You are a computer scientist.
It's confirmed.
Yeah.
But then I thought NIH, and I think you were insulted when I said that.
Yeah, no.
Jason, do you want to dispel the rumors or whatever rumors are just
you make those GIFs, right? Are they pronounced GIFs?
They're actually pronounced GIFs. Confirmed by the person who invented the GIF in 1987.
Now, there's two people that made the GIF.
Nope,
GIF.
It's GIF.
Okay. One says GIF, the other says GIF.
No, there's only one guy. It's GIF. Everybody else is wrong.
I agree.
So, yeah, no, I am a computer scientist. I work with a bunch of engineers that do transportation safety.
Okay.
We do computer simulations of car crashes and also airplane crashes.
I knew that. I think everybody here at the table knew that.
No, I did not know that. No.
We're all surprised, but now, yeah.
But we know you better as someone who likes to go out. Who loves to participate in all of our revelry and stupidity quite a bit.
Wow. No, yeah, I like to drink because it's fun.
Now, before we dig too into the Mater hole, let's do some week in recap.
Okay. Any news?
KFC had just upped the Yule Log bar. They have this hunk of burning wood that smells like fried chicken, including all 11 secret herbs and spices. I tried to buy one online, and it was already sold out. Although I checked eBay.
Did you try to make one? Maybe obscene. Just like
that's my next
getting
move.
Some fried chicken.
That's
what
you just fry a chicken in your apartment?
Yeah. You just wrap chicken up in some cardboard and figure out how to make it burn for 3 hours. But on eBay, they're going for as high as $300 right now, which is ludicrous.
Insane. There's a tweet circulating around about a restaurant worker who served Ludacris one time. It was an Asian restaurant, and he ordered spring rolls. Now, he sent the spring rolls back, and you kind of think of, like, you know, people who send back food are kind of dicks. But when the server came back and apologized for the spring rolls, Ludacris said, "Don't apologize. Spring rolls are unpredictable." I mean, and that's true.
I love you, Ludacris.
I think it's so true. Ludacris.
Like, not only is he a friend to the restaurant worker,
but he
understands the finicky nature of the egg roll. Thank you, Ludacris.
Postmates has bumped up the timeline to the robot Armageddon with its new drone deliveries happening in LA right now. It's a thing.
Of food things.
Yeah.
Drone.
And they're really cute looking, deceivingly cute.
Have you been
ever
to LA?
I needed a reason. It's like not
if you
to
get if you get
LA.
A Postmate delivery in LA, and it's like this drone's got to fly like 35 miles to get to your destination.
Yeah, no, I mean it's just gonna die
in somebody's like
roll,
backyard.
Right. They roll.
You get to keep it.
But I'm wondering, does that mean Postmates is going to be less expensive now with robot service, or are you still paying robots?
Is it expensive? I don't use it, though I did recently find out that you can get Taco Bell over Postmates, and so it's game over.
I mean, Postmates has all the best.
All right.
Also, Jason, this eggnog is awesome.
Yeah.
It's really
eggnog
good.
Is real.
Really good.
There is a video circulating around of what happened at SantaCon in San Francisco this year, particularly of a bunch of Santas, or people just dressed up in with a Santa hat trashing a restaurant. So, poo-poo on San Francisco. Shame on you.
Now, to be fair, everybody in San Francisco hates Santa Claus. Yeah. It's like, it's the worst.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that kind of a universal thing against
Santa
Con?
So.
I think every city that is like plagued by many, many drunk, idiot Santas.
Yeah.
Nobody wants that in their bar or restaurant, right?
We've been a little bit immune here in D.C. But
do we have a SantaCon?
Yeah. We don't. Do we?
No SantaCon, but there is.
There are scary Santas in D.C. No doubt about it. Do they all collect? You know, do they gather and get hammered together? I don't know.
Wait, wasn't there another video?
Maybe
where
in
just
Northern
a bunch of
Virginia?
Santas in New York fighting.
It's an Arlington thing.
Exactly, street ball. Like guys
sorry,
dressed
Arlington.
Up as Santa.
Sorry, Arlington.
Oprah responds to a rubber stamping of a rubber chicken. A video recently resurfaced of Oprah basically tasting this chicken that had not been seasoned. This chicken won $1 million award, like a recipe award. And you see Oprah's like very candid response to eating this basically unseasoned chicken live.
Oprah's just not impressed by $1 million.
Oprah has a professional chef, like a personal cook.
She's got an incredible palate. She's got her own, palate,
she's got her own top 10 Oprah list of chicken recipes, I'm sure.
She's got what's-his-face locked up at home cooking for her all the time.
Stedman?
Stedman, yes. Stedman. Really Stedman.
Well, I feel like we already learned a little bit about what Jason does. Jason, do you have two truths, one lie that you could drop for us?
Absolutely not.
No.
Fuck no. Good.
Jason, is there anything that you want to reveal about yourself that none of us already know?
Anything? Oh, you know everything.
We know everything about you.
Yeah.
You're an open page.
I'm transparent.
All right. Maybe this is a time to kind of open things up to his friends. Maybe they can regale us with
the studio panel.
My two cents really quickly again about Jason Mader is that I haven't known Jason all that long. A couple years is it, but he's always been a great mystery. And one of the things about Jason that I've always said to be very true, and I still believe this, is that he's a cyborg. And the reason that I think he's a cyborg is because he can eat more and drink more than any human I've ever met. And I've met some of the most incredible, like, professional drinkers out there. He can eat and drink more than anyone I've ever met in my life for longer periods of time and still maintain at least the illusion of sobriety and not feeling like he's going to die from a food coma.
Just take a B12 vitamin.
It's so B12. It's B12.
The vitamin. Okay. Yes.
Oh, he's life hacking this.
Yes. But I think he's actually just flesh on the outside and he's actually a robot inside.
I think Little
like Mo the Terminator.
Been the basis and inspiration for the Mr. Robot series, I believe.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. Oh, wow.
Just a consultant on the show.
Oh, yeah, of course. That makes perfect sense.
Now, I'm going to, I asked a number of your friends who can't join us about a little tidbit of stories.
Can't or just didn't want to.
Or maybe just didn't want to. So in that vein.
This pet net is really good, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
It is lovely. What are we drinking?
It's called Ichigo. It's a pet net, I believe it's from Languedoc, southern France. Yes. And I got it at Domestique. From the same wine shop, Jason Siegel.
Shout out.
Yeah.
Who were on our show last week.
Last week.
Went there for the first time yesterday.
So
fantastic.
Eric Denman, very good friend who lives in San Francisco, when he first started hanging out with you, you would offend every girl he was dating at some point. So he started introducing you as Abrasive Jason.
That is absolutely true.
To try to set expectations.
And actually, it wasn't even about just the girls he was dating. I offended every single person Eric Denman knew.
Now, is this just being out when you're drinking, or is it...
No, so this is the best part, is Eric Denman and I met because we went to I think it was a strong beer tasting at RFD. Like, a mutual friend arranged it, except the mutual friend didn't show up. And then the only other guy that I knew that was going to show up at this thing also didn't show up. So I'm just at a table with, like, 12 people, and they kept bringing us all of the strong beers. And people would be like, oh, look at the time. It's 6:30. I have to go. And they all left. And at 9 o'clock, Eric Demon and I were the only people left, and we were getting all of the beers. They were still bringing like 12 beers. So I don't know how we became friends because I was too drunk.
Well, you and Eric are, for the holidays, you're going to go down to Tampa.
Somehow you got my phone number.
Tampa, Florida. You're going to go down to Tampa, Florida, and you're going to catch your fish for a feast of the seven fishes.
Hopefully.
Are you confident?
No.
No?
Are you a fisherman?
What are you going to...
I haven't fished in 15 years.
So what are you going to do otherwise?
What are you going to wear?
Go to the grocery store.
Are you going to wear... Because this is another tiny anecdote.
I actually asked Eric Denman, what should I wear on the boat? And he replied with a picture of a very inappropriately dressed man in some, like, cut-off shorts and, like, I don't know, sunglasses. And I'm like, I'm not going to wear that.
Well, no. See, when I went on vacation with Jason once amongst a group of other friends, and he showed up to the airport at, what, 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, and like what he's wearing now, in a very dapper, perfectly tailored suit. We're all kind of like in yoga pants and sweats like normal people when you go to the airport. And he was the most handsome man in, like, the whole entire place. Absurdly handsome.
Which I appreciate quite a bit. Bring back the romanticism of
travel.
Exactly. Travel.
Single-handedly.
Smoking it up inside the cabin, you know.
You cannot bring your caviar.
All the misogynism you can have.
So, in the past 10 years since TSA has happened, I've had a few issues with TSA. So at least if I'm going to have a mugshot, I'm going to be wearing a suit in the airport. I refuse the body scanner. I've never been through a body scanner. I refuse it. And also, I'm a lot of a hassle. Mm-hmm.
That kind of backs up Kat's theory of the Cylon or robot.
Well, I have another story.
Thank you for bringing in a Cylon.
It's valid.
I have another story from that exact trip, actually, from Ashley May.
Oh, yes.
Who's Ashley May?
That faded night.
Ashley May, who is another staple in the bar scene. Here's a quote of hers. One thing that definitely needs exploring is more of a continuous, mysterious observation. There's hashtag Mater Raider. That's a thing. Please use it liberally. We all use it whenever we see Mater in a bar. Mater Raider. M-A-D-E-R-R-A-D-A-R. Mater Raider.
I definitely thought there was an I in there somewhere.
But there's another unseen force at work here. It's the Mater Magnetism. That needs to be a hashtag. So we're going to start using Mater Magnetism. Basically, she's saying that you pull stunners, and that's what happened in Montreal. And it has to do with how well you dress.
I was just wearing jeans and a t-shirt.
It's the mysterious vibe too. It's like that you don't know, is he a cyborg or is he a human? I mean, that's like what most women probably initially.
Is he a computer scientist? Is he a lawyer? I don't know.
Is it all that foie gras that you eat that just emits pheromones?
Oh, there is so much good foie gras at Joe Beef.
The Mater glow.
Literally glowing.
You and Santa Claus have a lot in common.
We don't, actually.
You both have beards. You're both givers.
Nope.
You both have this omnipotent ability to be all places at all times.
That's the only thing we share in common.
All 100% true.
You're here, and there's also a good chance that you're like also saddled up at a bar down the street simultaneously. Drinking a martini and doing lines of caviar. How do you do it? What is your secret? Do you train?
Vitamin B12. Yes. It's actually not vitamin B12. It's B1, B6, B12. Milk thistle, frankincense, and myrrh. Not myrrh. Dub's a joke. Don't.
Oh, so
whatever myrrh is, don't do that. And then something called NAC. I don't even know what it is.
So you wouldn't pass a drug test. The Olympics of eating, you'd fail.
Oh,
miserably.
These are perfectly fine off-the-shelf vitamins. Also, just drink a lot of water. Whatever, drink good stuff.
I've studied like professional eaters, like going into competitions and stuff. Like the guy that wins all the hot dog things.
I saw that guy at Dasha once.
What?
He was just literally at Dasha. People were like, "That's the guy that like wins all the hot dog competitions." And I looked it up, and I was like, "Oh my god, that's actually the guy."
They eat lettuce. They eat lots of lettuce before they go out. Is that what you do?
No. Okay. I actually don't eat before I go out.
Okay.
Because I go to restaurants and then I eat at the restaurant.
Do you cook at home ever?
All the time.
Do you really?
Yeah. Jason's a great cook.
What is your go-to?
Says Eddie from experience.
Yeah,
he's never wooed me.
Not yet.
There's no particular go-to. I just cook whatever.
Well, we have a loaf of bread right in front of us. You are experimenting.
And nobody's eating it.
All right.
I don't even know what the hell.
Somebody rip into that. Yeah, okay, Chantal's standing up, and she's handling the bread in an incredible fashion.
I have been given a loaf of bread in the middle of a shift, and then afterwards I just take it to my next where I get a shift drink, and I just give out your bread. I mean that is what it means to know Jason.
I've been re-gifted your bread before. It's really nice. Secondhand bread from Eddie Kim.
Okay. Yeah. So it was actually at Reuben Levin that was the catalyst for the bread making. I don't know if any of you remember Eileen Burke.
Oh, yeah.
So the first time that I ever talked to her was at Reuben Levin, early days. And I started, she knew who I was, but it was like I was telling the sob story about, like, I was getting, like, some fresh rye at the DuPont Farmers Market and was trying to get a, like, rye, like, sourdough starter going. And it wasn't working out, and told this whole story, and she's like, "Wait, you've never made any fucking bread?" And like, yeah, I hadn't actually made any fucking bread. I was just trying to get a starter going. And then the next day, I'm in a store, and I just see King Arthur flour and some Fleischmann's yeast, and I'm like, all right, fine. Done. I buy it. I get this flour, I get this yeast, and I make the most terrible bread that night. It's whatever recipe is on the back of a King Arthur bag of flour, don't ever make it. It's gross.
It's garbage.
It's terrible. It's just garbage, like, bread.
It's a pro tip.
I made it, but that kind of garbage bread, fresh out of the oven with a metric ton of butter, pretty good.
How long have you been working on your bread recipe?
So a little bit later, like Tartine Bakery, what Chad Robinson released his book. Also a very bad book for following bread recipes, but it was a good catalyst to get things going. Like the recipes suck. They need a lot of work, but yeah. There's a lot of good ideas in there that can get you going. And that was the thing that like actually made it sort of start to come together in the way that I wanted it to happen. And I've had a couple of different starters. The start I've had maybe 5 or 6 years at this point, only because nothing's gone wrong with it.
Oh, and thank you.
It hasn't gone bad. That's it. It's super easy. You just make some, you know, bread, put it in the oven, bake it.
We are tearing apart this bread right now.
Yeah, I think we need a second.
Butter. We're going to take
looks,
a second.
It looks beautiful.
Have a breather.
Alexia, cue the bells.
And we are going to take a short break. Thanks for listening to Shift Drink on Full Service Radio. We're joined by Jason Mader, Matthew Ramsey, beautiful ladies.
And holiday spirit.
Mel and Chantal. Thank and we're going to stuff our faces like pigs. You.
This is Shift Drink, only on Full Service Radio. We'll be right back.
We're still in the middle of our eating fest. Thanks for coming back. This is Shift Drink on Full Service Radio. I'm here with Matthew Ramsey. Jason Mader is our special guest today. Kat Hamidi, Mel Kunishi, and Chantal Singh are here to roast him. But we haven't been roasting.
We've all been roasting. Sharing. It's all been very nice.
I think I've done a little bit of roasting.
You made it sound like you were going to eviscerate him.
Well, yeah. I mean, it has to happen organically.
I'm all about the organic.
We're all about sharing right now, actually. I mean, we have this wonderful piece of bread that you baked for
really
us.
Really good.
Absolutely delicious.
We were talking, it's all, you don't cut bread. You gotta tear into it.
Unless you want to make a sandwich. Yeah. Slice it nicely if you want to make a sandwich. And also, like these high hydration breads, you can freeze and then reheat them.
Yeah. But what is it about tearing that makes it, right in this situation?
It's like that, the crust to crumb ratio. Like, you want a little bit of crust, you want a little bit of crumb. You don't want a big slice of weirdness. And unless you really want to put, like 10 pounds of butter on, like, that.
Sure, why
long
not?
You do you, Katie Ken.
Well, speaking of butter, you've told me a story about the amount of foie gras that you've eaten in one sitting. What are there any, like, ridiculous meals that you've had? I think at, what, metier, you had the 2-pound lobe of foie gras by yourself.
No.
How do you live with all that gout?
So I don't have gout. It was actually when it was Kinship.
Oh, Kinship.
Yes. Kinship first opened. I went with 3 people and we ordered the 2-pound lobe of foie. Did the entire dinner, like the entire dinner was centered around getting the 2-pound foie. And it actually became an issue. It was probably one of the weirdest things in a restaurant where not only did our waiter come out and ask, "Hey, do you really want that foie?"
That's a good server looking out for you.
Both owners came out separately and asked, "Do you want that foie?" And then the chef, Jason, just wouldn't serve it to us.
Was Sarah Kim in that posse?
No.
No?
Oh, you're kidding.
Yep. No, we had a really great metier dinner. Nobody doubted anything Sarah Kim asked for at metier, which was at one time when she's like, "We should have all of the wines." Which is a Sarah Kim thing.
I'm kind of like seeing a pattern here. Before we were talking about how you were recently at a bar and had all 16 of the draft beers.
No, that was not recently. That was not recently. 12 years ago.
Okay.
I would never do that again.
That was your first and only Bud Light.
Yeah. The only time I ever had Bud Light was the time at 51st State that I drank all 16 beers on tap. Oh. Exactly. I do not recommend anybody ever try this. It's terrible. You actually wake up the next day just still drunk.
That's the goal, right?
No, it's really not. No, it's not
the goal. I mean, you are... Oh, God, it's becoming a love fest, actually. Like, we love having you at our bar. Chantal, I think you have a very good story about Jason at your bar, one of the first times that you met him.
Ooh.
Oh, I do. I love the story. And it's actually a loving story. God loving in the way that your heart breaks and you cry.
There was so much crying.
Alexa, cue the bells.
But very, very specifically, this was not the first time I met Chantal. The reason I went to Tabard Inn the very first time was Jake Parrott. I was like, "Jake Parrott, where do I get a good Manhattan?" And he's just like, "Oh, Chantal sang at the Tabard Inn Wednesdays and Thursdays."
Aww.
And there was no other alternative. It was like that was the only thing.
You just said that so I wouldn't roast you.
No, in the summer of 2006, and it took me a little bit, but I finally got there. And the first time I went, She actually knew who I was because we had been to a house party
because
together.
Jason is very memorable when you meet him.
Well,
it's true.
So she's like, "Hey, how's it going?" And I'm like, oh, totally fine. And she's like, "So what have you been up to?" And I'm like, "Oh, no, you don't know who I am. Like, this is my first time at your bar." And she's like, "Oh, no, I saw you at a house party like just a couple of weeks ago." But the second time, this is the part that she specifically remembers.
Okay, so the second time was very special. It was very, very busy at the bar. It might have been a Thursday night. There was a bar of 9 seats, and in the very 9th seat, Jason was able to score a spot.
No, I was in the
corner
7th seat because it was the 8th and 9th that were.
This
the,
is when Jason.
Oh my bad.
This,
okay, so
this
so
is Jason knowing
seat.
The bar sitting numbers and tabling numbers. You
right.
know that he's a regular at your bar.
Creepy
Jason,
man.
Jason with the extra knowledge, it's Cyborg, I tell you. But I guess in the 8th and 9th seats then. Was a couple that was very horribly breaking up, where the woman was definitely sending him to tears. And I don't know if it was, I don't think she was being cruel. I think it was just he couldn't take it and he was crying and Jason was just sort of sitting there like awkwardly pretending the world didn't exist. But it was kind of busy and I was making all these drinks and it took me a real long time to kind of go, "Oh, hey, are you okay?"
It was actually pretty interesting. She was like, "All right, I'm just going to give people water." And she walks over and is like, "Would you guys help out her?" "Oh, my God." And just like turned around and like left.
No.
It was actually.
I would never.
It was pretty much
maybe
like that.
I did. It's hard to say. My memory is failing.
She immediately saw it and was like, "This is terrible. I'm just kidding."
But Jason's expressions were really amazing that evening. And I feel like I will never forget them. I feel like they're burned into my memory. This very wide-eyed and like, "I'm not here, but I am" kind of sensation.
But how was the Manhattan?
Oh, it was the second best Manhattan that I've ever had.
Oh, wow.
Burn.
So, yep.
Whoa, jeez.
The first best
I'm
was
I'm getting confused
his
about
own.
Who's getting roasted
yeah.
here.
Yeah. First best.
First best was his own?
No. So in December 2005 at BLT Steak in New York, like, just got hurried to a table and somebody was like, "Would you like a cocktail?" And I was like, I just blurted out Manhattan. And that was actually the first good, it's my cocktail moment. It was the first good cocktail I ever had.
Oh, wow.
Because, and that's really the reason I asked, like, Jake Parrott, because he seemed to know everything about everything. Where can I get a good Manhattan?
Parrott is another kind of man about town. He is an importer of a lot of your favorite vermouths and aromatized wines.
Oh, yeah. When are you getting him on this show?
Yeah.
He was on the other shift drink.
He's listening. He's yeah, he's watching us live on Instagram right now.
Like twice.
We will get him on very soon.
Just for the record, Tom Sietema is live Instagramming us right now.
I think maybe, hopefully. Very nice. Hi, Tom. Hi, Tom. But I want to ask a question. As a bar regular, you're okay with the term bar regular. A lot of people, we see a lot of listicles, and it's like, how do you want to treat your bartenders? Like, just be a regular bar regular. What does it mean to you to be a bar regular?
At all the bars in DC.
let's start with baby steps. You just moved to a new city. You moved into a new neighborhood. You see a bar, local bar that you like. What does it mean to you to get to know your bartender?
So I think I picked this up, but I didn't really know. But it was Mike Murphy that put something on Twitter that made me realize exactly what it is, which is go to the bars that you like, sit quietly, tip well.
Yep.
Agreed. Yeah.
Agreed. Yeah. Agreed. Yeah, definitely.
Do you have to sit quietly? You can sit kind of loudly.
Just don't be terrible. Don't be terrible. So I don't know. Go to first of all, go to the bars that you like.
Well, I think that's the most important point. Jason and I, before the show, we were talking about a lot of different bars in the city, and we're not going to name them, but some of them we like and some of them we don't like. But Jason took a very compromising stance and said, well, just go to the ones that you like, and there's plenty of other options out there for everyone else. Yeah?
Yeah, which is really fun.
Nice t-shirt.
Like I was thinking, I sort of have started to think that maybe cocktails are over, but the more I think about it, today, there are probably actually more cocktail bars that I like than 10 years ago that I could go to that I liked.
Mm-hmm. I feel please. Like I need to qualify something about your very innocent statement of just going and sitting silently. Because let's be honest, that sounds creepy. And
just
not...
Also, don't be creepy.
Oh, well, see, when you add that, now it makes sense.
Good luck.
But you pull it off well. But you pull it off well because not only you are the amazing bar patron of the city, but you're also the most amazing, awkward, and likable, endearing, awkward bar patron, and generous. And then, therefore, I mean, I'm a sucker for awkward. I'm a huge sucker for oh my God, you don't fit in? Let's be friends.
Which is why we bonded immediately.
Exactly. Anyway, that's all I wanted to add.
I have a pretty good story about that. Patrick Owens, who a lot of the chalk art that you see around the city is from his hand, but he also has bartended quite a bit around the city. He
Terrible
has a story
bartender.
About the... it's chartreuse everything. he has a story about you, about the first time that you all met.
Can you even remember this?
Whatever.
We remember the guests who really do make an impact and who are regulars. Yeah. I mean, I think we all have people that we like to hang out with and make an impression. So the reason I met Jason, well, not me, but Jason, was because he became a regular at Bourbon when Pato was working there. At that time, Pato flew kites.
Yep.
He used to fly kites. And so... half jokingly said on Twitter that they were meeting up at the Washington Monument to fly kites. And I think he said that he was going to bring something called the Ghostbuster, or the Gustbuster.
Gustbuster.
Which was a kite that he named. Well, you looked up the Gustbuster. Oh my goodness.
Sorry, we're getting joined by a surprise guest.
Yes.
Adam
Birnbach.
Let me finish the story. Adam Birnbach, thank you for joining us. Our first male, actually finally a male guest who loves Jason, gives him a big kiss on the forehead. Thank you. You looked up the Gustbuster online and you actually found an umbrella. So you met up with the guys at the Washington Monument to fly kites with an umbrella.
No. Like, I didn't show up with an umbrella. That's crazy. That doesn't make any sense.
Oh.
I showed up on the Washington Monument to just hang out with Bourbon guys that were flying kites. Titty Balls and Patsy were just flying kites. And Patsy's kid was two. He just crawled all over me.
It was Titty Balls.
no podcast should ever go without mentioning Titty Balls.
Titty Balls, guys. That's great. I mean, sometimes we find that endearing when you just show up randomly and you take part
The part that he doesn't remember is he did invite me. He was just a little bit drunk.
Oh, okay.
Jason, I also hear you do bar mitzvahs, weddings.
I go to very few.
Baby showers.
I've never been to bar mitzvah. I go to very few weddings. I'm very discriminatory about weddings that I go to. So sorry about that. Do you have a wedding coming up?
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Theoretically, we haven't figured anything out yet, but it's in the works.
Well, when you get it figured out, let me know.
Yeah, you're invited.
Wow. No. But you got to figure. Like, you got to tell me some details. I only go to really good weddings.
I'm gonna create a really cool name with something that you look up and buy. And
listen, Jason, you might be getting paid for an appearance, like a B or C celebrity. Just go with it. Go with it.
I don't take money for this.
Well, Jason, you were you did do a Spirits in the Black 1 year. Spirits in the Black was a cocktail night that... Did you not?
Nope. No. I've been at every single one of them.
Okay. You bartended an event. Okay.
Nope. The only thing that I ever... There are only two things that I ever did that are even remotely in the industry. Once, Ed Bernbach asked me to do the tour at his bar. And I did that, and I was... Mm-hmm. Is he even here?
He's right here. Ed Bernbach's right here.
And I was the worst doorman he's ever had.
That's not true.
Oh, so I was the second worst doorman he's ever had.
I can definitely confirm that you did work the door, but you were not the worst. Somebody threw a heavy object against one of those tiles once and shattered it. That was the worst guy. So you would be the penultimate door guy, I think, in terms of levels.
Penultimate.
Yeah.
Adam, do you have any stories about Jason? No.
I don't have a direct Jason story. I do have this thing where Jason enters my life in a weird way, my thoughts. I had a physical the other day. I was at the doctor's office.
I know.
Wow.
And I realized this, where every time I have a physical, or every time I'm at the doctor's and they talk to you, you know, they have the questions of consumption.
Yeah.
They do your blood pressure and your cholesterol, all this sort of stuff. I think about Jason. And when I'm getting lectured, I'm like, oh, you got to see this guy. Like, if you're looking at me and you're giving me this whole spiel, you got to talk to this guy, Jason. Like, this, and I do worry for you.
Yep. Dory, duck fat.
One B6.
And then just.
It's cool, bro. Really strong, he's a computer scientist.
It's fine.
Guys, this is actually.
I have probably the lowest cholesterol.
We've gathered here today.
There's secret cameras.
I actually have the lowest cholesterol you've probably ever seen.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Because I only eat duck fat.
It's because you're a cyborg.
Also duck fat.
You guys, I just tried to buy the Cholito with the caviar. It's amazing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, now we're going off the rails. Shall we jump into, let's say...
My job here is done.
A rapid fire of sorts?
Yeah. So again, this is a holiday
special. If you're going to do it fast.
We will. Anyone chime in, ask questions, and we're going to do a little bit of a rapid fire session.
Rapid fire.
I hate that intro.
Now it is that time of year when all the best of listicles dominate our social media feeds with 2020 hindsight.
Because they just don't pay anybody. The interns are running the show right now.
You've gotten drunk at a lot of dark bars. You've indulged in a lot of restaurants. You and Tietzma probably are neck and neck for who's enjoyed the most meals out. Let's do a little 2018 best of according to Mater.
All right.
2018 best of?
I didn't even see your favorite restaurant meal that you've had this year.
I mean, that was actually Komi.
Komi.
There was a long gap where I didn't go to Komi for about 7 years. And so then on the 7th year anniversary of not going to Komi, I went to Komi. And it was fantastic.
Wow.
But very specifically, I went back in February with Michelle Paulson, and it was fantastic. It's one of those things where it's everything just came together. The wines were good.
It's amazing.
They served us the best steak that I've had in years.
For the record, Jason is now carrying the microphone with him wherever he goes. He's emceeing. Best restaurant you've napped in 2018.
All of them. I mean, if it's past 9 p.m.,
I can't believe I've probably
fallen asleep at the restaurant.
Best cocktail or best cocktail bar or best cocktail menu. Just choose something.
That's a lot of categories.
Yeah, that's too hard. Because also, I'm not a big fan of the best of. Like, I like the idea of, like, there are things that are, like, so appropriate for the moment. And you're just like, wow. And then the other thing?
Great.
I love it. So the answer is Adam Birnbach, correct?
Perfect.
Adam Birnbach is the best cocktail of the year.
Actually, no. I'm sorry, Adam. Like 10 years ago? Yes, he probably did give me the best cocktail.
How roasting.
Favorite restaurant soundtrack? Is there a place that you go that has, like, the best music that you...
Not in years. The lower the volume, the better.
Yeah.
I tell a lot of people that, like, I have the worst bar hearing ever. So if it's, like... I actually did go to some, like, what do you consider, like, club bars. Like, I actually like Science Club in the day, like, 15 years ago.
Science Club.
But yeah. I would go there, and I would just sit in the corner and drink Pinot Noir by myself.
For those, Science Club was in DuPont Circle, old bar. What? I don't even know what stands there now. But
who knows? I think it was a Greek restaurant or something like that.
It was a Greek restaurant by it.
It was kind of like a row house in the middle of DuPont Circle. And
this is great.
I lived on Twister Street. I could walk over there. Everybody that worked there was, like, fantastic. But I would just sit in the corner and listen to music because it would just drown out all my thoughts.
Adam, I think I've seen you at shows a couple of times. What's the best concert or show that you've been to this year?
Oh, this year? I mean, it's not quite this year, but I came back just to see XX at Black Cat on New Year's Eve.
That was
it was a great show. Like, that was actually my favorite thing, and I'm super happy that I did that.
I accidentally asked Adam that question, and I apologize.
Yeah. I also did not get to answer that question.
what is your favorite show? Come on.
That I saw this year?
Yeah.
Oh, shoot.
This is
I don't know. I don't know what the best show I saw this year is. Maybe I shouldn't answer this question.
This might be a big good plug. Adam and I have been spending a lot of time together recently.
We are.
Too much,
have we?
Frankly.
I guess. No, your performances after we close are pretty significant. They might be my best shows of the year. Yeah. He does. He plays a 6-song set. It's remarkable.
Man, I just go all out. We do a pop up, and I think we have another one this Thursday.
This Thursday at Sun Cinema, Lazy Omakase.
Lazy Omakase, chartreuse themed.
Yeah. Crucial.
Chartreuse themed.
What's up, Pat?
It's a little self plug, but I think it's
also, I mean, probably best bar pop-up of 2018.
Absolutely.
Hey.
Agreed. Yeah.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Nice. Thank you.
Okay. What is your best Uber Eats order of the year, 2018?
Do you not even know me? I would never do that.
It's fair.
All right. every question that
I like
ask.
I like to go to places. I don't... like to have
okay, what about like, a guilty
how dare
pleasure
you bring food to me
a guilty pleasure meal is there a guilty pleasure that you
I have caviar on Mondays.
Your bougie guilty pleasure and then your basic guilty pleasure name it the two bougie
caviar on Mondays caviar on Mondays
can we get a drink as well a guilty pleasure drink
and we're talking
guilty
I can't even think of one because like I just think of all drinks as
mine
the
is
same.
Bailey's and decaf. Let's set the bar low.
Okay.
Bailey's and decaf.
Cat sets it low.
Well, I don't drink crap like that.
Decaf specifically.
Well, I mean that's like as low as it gets. Like if you have two Bailey's and coffee, you just by the time you have your third one, you're like, I better switch to decaf.
that's the original Red Bull and vodka right there.
I got it. Okay.
The Red Bull, not Red Bull vodka. Like decaf can be good. It's just nobody make good today, so it's the fun.
Well, I'm talking about like sitting on a couch in Trist in 2004.
Oh,
how about Mel? Mel, what do you drink after your shift? You actually worked on a day.
What was that? I used to work in the bar industry for 12 years, but I don't.
But now
I don't. I'm a hairdresser. Tito's on the rocks. I do a little soda if I want to take it light.
That's a guilty
pleasure. Whiskey, Scottish whiskey. I don't know. It's not really a guilty pleasure.
You have a little
guilty pleasure. My pleasure. Yeah, it's just like
a pleasure. With the
guilty
pleasure part.
Okay. You know.
I think the problem is like I just drink everything.
Yeah, I think that's
I don't
what
even
it is.
Consider
except,
it like
except
a,
for Bud
a
Light, you've only had one of those.
Never. Yeah.
I am going to throw in there that pina colada forever, and that is my ultimate
that's
guilty.
Yeah. That's amazing.
But when I go to Archipelago, I get a pina colada. If I went to an Adam bar and he's got a pina colada, I'm getting the pina colada. Also, oh my God.
this is the question I'm going to ask everyone. And actually, I'm really curious to know, what is your deathbed meal?
So I knew you were going to ask this. I've taken a lot of issue with this. It's like, first of all, it's like when you're on your deathbed, like, what are you having a meal for? Like, you're about to die.
This is coming from the guy that eats 5 meals a day, though.
Yeah, but that's
just for dinner.
That's not a normal day.
For dinner.
Like when I'm traveling, 30 meals a day. So why are you eating on your deathbed? Eddie Kim, what are you even thinking? Who eats on the deathbed? You're just like on an IV drip. It's really morose. Like, just nothing good is happening.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. That's your question.
This got super heavy, man. Super heavy.
Eddie, that's a dumb question. Thanks.
So I'm gonna be on my deathbed, and I'm gonna get them to take me to Little Sarah on a bed and roll me in.
Yes.
Because ADA.
Thank you. And Little Sarah,
they're gonna roll me up to the bar, yeah, and I'll just take up the entire bar. Yes.
That's weird though, because I think they are on Uber Eats, so I don't know.
Okay. I hope not.
Okay. Well, we're gonna have a wake for you right on the counter at Little Sarah.
No, just have it. Come on.
We'll sing some Irish songs.
Elevate it.
Last week we did start a new catering service called Deathbed Meal, where we cater your last meal.
Yes.
So. Just remember us.
Just let me know to sign up.
All right, guys. I think this is the end of our. Oh,
well, sorry. I have one more.
Okay,
we would like to do. I would like to play a game of Marry, Fuck, Kill, if possible.
Fuck, Marry, Kill.
Fuck, Marry, Kill.
So since we've seen so many familiar faces around us right now, and I'm not going to name any one of you. I was about to. But let's do a fake fuck, marry, kill of some of the bartenders that we've seen around town that are good friends of ours.
It's too weird.
Patrick Owens, who will be a future guest of ours. Scott McIntosh, who is one half of the Cholito recipe. And Andy Overton.
Oh, man. This is going to make your life so weird.
Yep. This is super easy. You marry Andy Overton because he's amazing.
And he knows how to build shelves and furniture.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he will build you a house around wherever it is you are. If you're in some weird part in Maine, you'll all of a sudden get an A-frame. Boom, done. Marry that guy. Fuck Scott McIntosh.
Anna, I hope you're not listening right now.
That's some heavy beard on beard action.
Mater right is coming for your man.
You do understand what sex is.
What? It'd be one time, but you could still get a good Cholito afterwards because you really don't need him. And then, wait, what's the other one with Patso?
Kill. You're going to kill Patso.
That's just.
Oh, yeah. That's fine. What's he ever done?
He can draw like a lovely chalk portrait of you naked on a bearskin rug. No?
While drinking chartreuse.
Kill him.
It's always meant for the artist. True artists must him. Suffer.
We will continue this discussion. We're going to bring up this question with Pat. So
yeah,
he wants to be killed.
We'll give him a chance to...
Well, thank you everyone for joining us. Thank you.
I'm sorry, this is the worst holiday party you've ever had.
No, this is our first and only, probably our last episode ever on here.
This is the last episode of this year.
Hey, I was going to ask, is this your anniversary episode?
We're coming up on an anniversary. Is that yet?
Adam, were you the first one?
I think I was the first.
Adam was our
December,
first.
Adam was, yeah. December 18th.
We've actually come from tomorrow.
I think Kat might have been our second. Boom.
I think I was number two.
So, holy fuck.
Yeah. I am your anniversary holiday extravaganza.
So these aren't the ghosts of your past. These are the ghosts of our past as well, Christmas-wise.
Okay. I feel like I'm in a press conference right now.
Well,
there's a lot of microphones.
Mel, you can be our guest of our future. We definitely want you on our show because you definitely represent the industry.
Listeners, don't forget to find us wherever you grab your podcasts, Spotify, iTunes, you know. You can find us on all the social medias as @ShiftDrinkDC. And a special thank you to our friend Jeffrey Lamoureux for the intro music, DJ RecTech for those sweet sound effects.
You know, just before we go, let's all call Jason some kind of let's make fun of him for the roast. It's been a love fest, and I feel like we need to roast him just a little bit.
It's all about love.
You're an impotent, bearded scoundrel.
Oh,
nice one.
Oh, that's
nice
harsh.
Burn.
You have tight jeans, way too tight jeans. You're not wearing jeans right now.
I'm just all about love, so it doesn't.
I have no insult. I just want to. I want to know where you come from.
It's a roast.
Did I miss that? Did they explain where you? Did you fall,
Jason?
From
where,
a, like an alien?
The first 20 minutes where it's
Jason, where were you built? As a cyborg.
Krypton, correct?
No,
Okay. Chantal?
I have a strange, I believe it's a realistic worry that I think many of the people of D.C. share, and it is there really a man beneath that beard?
No.
Thanks for answering.
All right. All right, thank you, everyone. We appreciate it. Please join us next year. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Cue the bells. Yeah.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter @FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook @FullServiceRadio. Thanks for listening.